Pack it in, rub it in. Coming up on TMS PM, Michael Bluth went dark.
3D printer deal.
Don't shoot armadillos.
Ralph Macchio wants your attention.
No. Jaden Smith wants your mayonnaise.
Sean Spicer wants to learn how to dance. Just keeping with the theme.
Yeah, no, it's fine. App time.
Your Twitter questions and more on this episode of TMS PM.
This is the morning stream, but it's not in the morning, it's at night.
TMS PM.
Hey everybody, it's Sultry Music Can Only Mean One Thing. It's the PM edition of the morning stream for August 4th, 2017. It's 2 p.m. in the afternoon, a day later than we usually record this show.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe about 23 hours later. Not a full.
Yeah, actually, yeah. 22 and a half.
Yeah, 22 and a half hours later. yeah, we're late.
What do you because think of that?
I blew some stuff up and it didn't work for a while, but then it did, and then we thought, well, we should still do a show, so we're doing it today. This is about the time people at home would get the file anyway. So as soon as this is over, I'll just post it and then they're all happy and everything will be great.
Exactly. What does it matter, really? I mean, you know, people don't notice. No. They don't notice these things.
No, nobody cares. They don't care. Nobody cares. Hey, it's me, Scott Johnson, with Brian Ibbett. Brian Ibbett, good morning, afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon, Scott.
Yeah, it's great, isn't it?
I'm happy it's Friday, you know?
Me too.
A busy Friday, but it's a Friday, and Fridays are great.
And it's a weekend where you don't have to immediately get back on a plane and go somewhere. So
yeah, that'll be a nice switch up from the last couple weeks.
You got any big plans, concerts or anything weird this weekend?
Got tabletop gaming day with the Spagnolos and Ice Worm and Civ and a bunch of folks.
Yeah.
That's tomorrow. My dad's in town, so we're gonna have dinner tonight.
Nice. Is he there now?
He's not here right now, unfortunately. Okay. No, he's not going to get here until about 5.
Okay.
What else? Sunday, Corinne and Jason hanging out with them.
Oh, that's right.
Monday, hanging out with Mitzula. It is for a weekend where I'm not flying anywhere.
Busy.
It is busy, yes.
Wait, what's Mitzula doing? Just driving around?
He's just driving around and ended up...
Found himself in Arvada?
Was in the neighborhood.
Okay.
No, he flew to... Minnesota.
Yeah.
And he's picking up a car and he's bringing it back home. So one way flight and then driving a car back to Las Vegas.
So what's the deal with a car? Is it a car for him?
I believe so. Yeah.
Okay. This sounds like a Fargo episode to me.
Kind of does, right?
Yeah. What's going to go wrong here? I can't imagine.
Don't scratch off those VIN numbers.
You know, this is my deal. My deal. He'll say.
Yeah, I am cooperating. We.
I wish it was all that. Mitzula was the star of the next season of Fargo. It's not going to happen, though. Well, anyway, I'm glad you get to see so many of our friends.
I know. Yeah, it's going to be a busy weekend. And we might even have a rare appearance Tuesday morning from Mitzula because he's going to crash here in the Hotel de Ibbett.
Because,
You know, now it's not enough that we've got Tristan's friend staying with us.
How's the term?
We now have Tristan's friend's girlfriend.
Oh, really? Wow.
Sleeping here almost every night, yes.
What's the turndown service like at Hotel de Ibbett?
We turn down anybody else who wants to stay here. that's the turndown service.
I was hoping you would go down that line of thinking. Well, I have
a
wedding.
Shove a mint up your butt and kick you out the front door.
Exactly. We're doing a film sack tomorrow. That'll be good. Then we're going to do, I have a wedding immediately after that. That I have to go to another wedding. It's weddings
you're
after
not
weddings.
Officiating this one.
No, someone
you're
else's
just an
job.
Attendee.
Yeah, it's my niece this time instead of my. Well, it was my niece last time, so two nieces in a row. Weekend after that, my nephew gets married. Different nephew, or you know, whole different deal, different family. And then I think maybe I'm done with the weddings for a while, which will be nice. Because right now I'm a little weddinged out, if I'm being honest. But I am happy to report that I finished the television series. Season one of Ozark yesterday.
Nice.
Yeah. I was up
too
late.
This is just Netflix. It's only on Netflix.
Just Netflix. Netflix original. Jason Bateman project. He's a producer and also directs most of the episodes. It's a drama, kind of Breaking Bad style. Everything kind of just keeps getting worse sort of deal. About the dude and his family lives in Chicago, has to move to the Ozarks and try to figure out a way to fix a problem he has with the Mexican mob. And boy, that thing ends in a gnarly fashion.
Really?
Yeah, that is a hell of a thing, that final episode. And I guess I'm here to say, if you like this sort of thing, you should definitely watch this. If you don't like people behaving poorly, mm-hmm. then maybe don't see it. Because some of these people are just up a crick of no return.
Right. Okay.
It's Breaking Bad in that way. So if you like Breaking Bad, I feel like this is going to totally be for that person. You know, we were talking to Nicole on Wednesday, and she didn't, you know, Breaking Bad didn't really do it for her because people just making poorer life decisions isn't really her thing.
Right.
There's
right.
definitely some poor life decisions being made. The acting's really good. The last episode has some serious shocking moments in it. One of them I thought, oh my gosh, I'm never going to watch your show again if you guys do this. If you guys do what you're about to do, I'm never watching this again.
And really?
And people who saw this, almost as mad as I was at the end of 7. I told you about that.
Okay. Where you threw the DVD into the snow.
Yeah, right into the snow. I was so
Screw
mad.
Screw you, Blockbuster.
I was so mad. I popped it out, went outside, chucked it in the snow like a frisbee. And
I love that, too. I really, really love that. Like, it's just, like, so visceral. So, like, such a, just a knee-jerk reaction.
Big time. My wife watched me get up from the couch, walk over, slam the inject button, grab it, walk outside, shunk, throw it in the snow. Now, I've seen 7 since then, and I appreciate it more than I ever did, but mm-hmm. that ending really got to the core of me. Mm-hmm. And I won't say why this one did, but there's about 5 minutes left when the thing happens I'm talking about where they just about lost me and almost threw Netflix into the snow. I don't know how I've done that. But they didn't do it. Thank freaking goodness. And that's all I'll say. I don't want to spoil it. But that's a cool series, man. It's something good. You should see it.
Yeah, if nothing else, you've actually made me way more intrigued. I mean, I was already intrigued. It was already on our list. Now it's even more on our list.
Yeah, it's in dark ink, not just pencil now on your
yes,
list.
Yes, right.
Yeah, that's how it works. Anyway, so that's the thing. Tell me about your 3D printer. You got a part from Spain.
I did. So Spain sent me a part. The entire country of Spain all got together, and between siestas and gazpacho and running the bulls, they sent me a new Ramps card. I guess it's basically, it's a two-piece deal. It's an Arduino.
Yeah.
Computer.
Yeah.
I mean, really just a board. Sure. And then another board on top of it that's called RAMPS. And I don't know what the RAMPS stands for, but it's an acronym.
It's probably a controller thing, right?
Like I'm sure, yeah. Remote arm manipulation system management.
Yeah. Whereas the Arduino is more like programmed core functionality, like OS exactly. level stuff, right?
Exactly. And that's basically all a 3D printer does. It's just taking these, in this case, G-code commands that say, it's a lot like, what was the language that you moved the turtle around? Logo. Remember Logo?
Right. Yeah, I do remember that. Yeah.
And you basically make a turtle go around. Mm-hmm. Basically, if you imagine the turtle is an extruder, that's basically what Logo commands, you know, in a 3D printer.
I've always heard G-code. Avoid an extruding turtle. Stay away from a turtle.
Oh, please do. Yes, that's when they're their angriest.
Ooh, and they smell.
During an extrusion.
Yeah, you'll never get that stink out. Anyway.
So, got it, installed it enough to where I could test it.
Yeah.
And still had the same problem. Still wasn't working. So I emailed Spain. I think Wednesday night emailed Spain. Thursday morning, I get an email back from Spain saying, well, try, you know, or I said, you know, maybe the G-code, maybe it's just not sending the right G-code commands because we've swapped the cables, everything from the motor all the way to the board, basically everything from my finger to the part where it poops the plastic has been changed on this thing. So something has to be, something's got to be wrong internally. We don't know what. And I said, and all these things are working if I just move it to another spot on the board. And I said, maybe it's just sending the wrong G-code command when I use the knob to move the extruder. They're like, oh, yeah, well, here's what, try this. Try loading filament, because that apparently uses a slightly different G-code command.
Right.
Lo and behold, it starts to load filament. The little extruder turns, it heats up, it's pooping out plastic. I'm like, oh, this is fantastic. And so I put everything back together. And all I tested again afterwards.
Yeah.
Sure enough, it's still extruding plastic. I get ready, I hit the button, I'm going to print my first thing since the beginning of June. And I hit the button, and it sends the extruder to the back, and then goes all the way to the right. And as soon as it goes to the right, the whole machine shuts down.
Wow.
And it's funny, in all of the other problems, I'd forgotten that this was an initial issue, initial problem that we had with it, was that once I changed out the cords for the or the wire chain, and I hadn't taken even the thing that protected the circuit board off, so
that hadn't
been a problem, but in doing testing, when I moved it all the way over to the right, it shut the machine off, and we thought, all right, well, it's just got to be related to this little plastic doodad that's sticking off the end of the wire chain, because the old one doesn't have that, the new one does. I break that piece off, still does it. And so I sent another message. So we're so damn close. I can feel it. But basically, there's this thing called an end stop clicker.
Okay.
And when the extruder moves all the way over, it basically sends a command to the motor saying, so stop, you're at the end, you're done.
Right.
But something's shorting out the little display screen when it does that.
You know what this makes me think of? Like,
what's that?
Spain, who you've now... It's now in Spain's court, end of the court,
yes,
right? Okay.
Yes. And today was the first day, by the way, that I've sent a thing explaining the issue. Because this, I figured all this out yesterday.
Yeah.
Send an email to them. Today's the first day that I've sent a message that I have not gotten a smoke signal back.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, you may.
And this is a Friday. It's Friday in Spain.
Well, this is.
So it's not like it was, you know, like it's the weekend yet.
No, but although who knows what the Spaniards do? Maybe they kick off early. Who knows what they do?
Maybe.
But here's what I'm thinking. Aren't you, I mean, they're lucky that you are a capable technical dude.
They are, yes. That I know how to do some troubleshooting on my own. And again, you know, working in a support department, managing a support department for a software company, you figure out how to isolate an issue with lots of control and lots of variables.
Yep,
right?
And you know all the right questions, you know all the right procedures. So I guess what I'm saying is, if they had sold this printer, which I'm sure they have to many people who are just like, ooh, cool Kickstarter. I don't know shit, but I can't wait to print.
Right, right.
And now they're running into this problem, assume, you know, if you were one of these people, what would Spain have to do? Send you a whole new getup? Probably.
I know, probably. Well, they probably would have been more insistent that I send it back to them and then they fix it and send it back to me.
Yeah, that's probably what
because that was initially an issue and they said, do you feel pretty comfortable changing something out? I'm like, yeah.
Because they know it's going to cost more. It's going to take longer to send it back and all that stuff. But yeah, I wonder at this stage, though, like if they come back with, well, and they throw their Spanish hands in the air, are they going to send you a new deal or make you send it back or like what? I don't know.
I don't know. Because it feels like we're so close. Like it feels like we're absolutely really close to having this thing resolved.
Hmm. Yeah,
I don't know.
You feel it does feel close, but yet so far. So I wonder I wonder if that. Okay, so we should take bets. I mean, Zula's not here, but if he was here, I'd love to know what the house odds are on them saying send it, pack it up, and send it back, or them just biting the bullet and saying, you know, we've worked with who is clearly a competent, capable technical person who understands technology, who knows how to get into one of these things and dink with it. We probably should just replace this printer.
I think there's a third option and they're going to give me a billion other things to try first. So I put everything back together. They're probably going to make me take it all back apart again and do a test on the board or something and make sure, number one, that it's seated in the right slot. I mean, I could probably this weekend save them the trouble and make sure that cause I've got a diagram of the circuit board and what pins are what.
Yeah.
I could just make sure that seated in the right place.
What a pain in the butt, though.
It really is. Oh, you don't want to know how happy I was when things fell back into place when I put the things back together, because it's a lot of little tiny screwdrivers into weird places and maybe not
that weird.
Price warm, but
yeah, not that weird.
Anyway,
a little weird though.
Free Rangers nails it. By the time Brian fixes his 3D printer, we will have 4D printers.
Yeah, I was going to say, we'll be in other dimensions printing things with our minds.
That's right.
Time will tell. Let's keep our eyes on it as we get closer, but I hope it works out because what a pain in the butt it has been.
I want to make little 3D doodads. I have so many ideas for things I want to design and print that that this thing has just been like a complete standstill in yeah. being able to do cool stuff.
Brian Ibbett's sex toy business isn't going to build
That's
itself.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. What do you guys expect?
Radio today is different. Powerful networks span the nation from coast to coast. Shortwave radio girdles the globe.
Oh, looky, it's the evening news, and it's brought to you by...
Home is Forward, the new true adventure comedy by Gary Sizer. You guys helped fund the Kickstarter, and now it's already topping the charts on Kindle. Home is Forward takes the reader around the world. From the mud of Marine boot camp through steaming jungles and over glaciers, you'll love, laugh, and be amazed the whole way. The perfect summer read. Go get Home is Forward today.
That's right. If you have Kindle Unlimited, it is free.
Free.
I've been using that a lot. There's a lot of really cool genre books I like that I would normally like anyway, but I'm a little hesitant at 15 or $9 or whatever because I'm like, I don't know. The reviews are kind of not out yet, but I kind of want to get my hands on it. And then one will show up in there. I'm like, well, there's no reason I can't try this. If it catches me in the first couple chapters, I'm in. And I've found some really great little gems that way.
That's cool. It's very cool.
So make Home is Forward one of those gems for you folks. Texas Man. In the news.
Okay, what does Texas Man do?
Well, he's the Secretary of Energy.
Oh.
No, he's not. I mean, he is, but he should
He is.
Be.
That is a Texas Man, yeah. but that's not the Texas Man.
Whether he should be or not is a arguable position. Anyway, a Texas man was wounded after he shot an armadillo, like the animal, but the bullet ricocheted back into his face.
Oh, wow, it's that bulletproof skin that armadillos have.
Yep. You got to watch out because they'll get you. A Texas man was wounded after he fired this gun at an armadillo in his yard. Thing ricocheted back, hit him in the face. Cass County Sheriff Larry Rowe.
Larry Rowe?
Well, it's a dirty job. oh, that'd be Mike Rowe, wouldn't it?
Mike Rowe. Okay, that's what it sounded familiar. Yeah. Like, Larry Rowe, isn't that the guy?
he said, said the man who was not identified went outside of his home in Marietta, Texas, around 3 a.m. I'm going to tell you something right now. Nothing good happens at 3 a.m. Nothing.
Absolutely right. There are truer words never spoken.
Don't shoot anything. Don't pull your gun out. Don't even go outside at 3 a.m. 3 a.m. is bad time.
Yeah.
It's a haunted time. Anyway, that was a local time Thursday morning. He spotted the armadillo on his property and opened fire. His wife was in the house. He went outside and took his .38 revolver and shot three times at the armadillo. The animal's hard shell deflected at least one of these bullets, which struck the man in the jaw. Ow! Oh, that sounds awful, doesn't it? Right in the jaw.
Oh, it totally does.
You don't want to ever hear about your jaw getting hurt.
You shot me in the face.
In the face. I am cooperating weed. Oh, you know what's weird, story-wise, is right over here, they're doing some construction that leads out to the highway from where I live. And, some lady crossed against a red light. No one knows why. Or it was green for the cars, red for her.
Okay.
No reason. She shouldn't have been there. 58 years old, out walking across this thing. Got clipped by a car. She survived because it just hit her, kind of glanced her as she walked toward it. But it was, I mean, she was a step away from complete, you know, total death. There's no way.
Yeah.
One more step, she'd have been gone. But they hit her so hard that she ended up in the hospital with a broken hip, a shattered pelvis. Is that the same? Pelvis and hip? It's not, is it?
No, pelvis is your crotchial area.
But where's the hip? Isn't that also
on the side of your crotchial area?
Yeah, so would it be the same?
Probably all, it's all the same, that big funny shaped bone, but it's
yeah, it's shaped like a
big
butterfly.
But your crotch and your hip. I mean your pelvis and your hip, two different.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Well, the hip bone's connected to the crotch bone. There you go.
That's it right there.
And anyway, she's
of the Lord.
So she shatters all of that. I always forget about that lyric. I just do the part where the things are connected.
Of the Lord.
Yeah. I always thought it was like a science thing, but it's not. It's like a church thing.
Anyway. Yeah. it works on both levels. It's like the Lord teaching us anatomy.
Yeah, there you go. And then there came the neck bone connected to the thigh bone. That isn't right. Anyway, she gets hit. She pops. She shatters all of that. Breaks some leg thing. Her ankle, one of her ankles got broken. And the big news was her jaw just got shattered. Destroyed. I don't know how you ever come back from that.
That's
really rough.
That's really rough business.
Yeah. Don't cross against the light, everybody. Okay?
Yeah.
Just be careful. Anyway, this guy did it. He got shot in the face. Nobody knows if the animal died or not. He ran in the house and that was it. So they didn't find the
armadillo. I think if it ricocheted off of him, I mean,
I think his three shots, two missed, one hit him.
He had three shots. Okay.
But that's what I think. I think two shots missed the armadillo altogether. Third one ricocheted off the shell, hit him in the face. Then he panicked. I'll bet that thing's just fine. He's just a little rattled.
Three shots now. If only one ricocheted.
Yeah, but what if the other two missed?
No, that's true.
It's dark. It's 3 a.m. Right there in the dirt.
What are you doing? Number one, why are you shooting an armadillo?
Well, Texas, man. Come on.
Yeah.
Texas. These people.
Number two, why three shots?
Well.
They went back and to the left.
And why a 38? That's a big revolver.
It is. No kidding. There's a lot of questions.
Yeah.
Lots of questions.
Not very many answers. Here's a question. Why is Ralph Macchio and William Zabka working to kickstart Karate Kid as a TV series?
Oh, I don't know. Why are they?
Well, they also want to create more movies. Karate Kid 4 or Part 5, if you count the next Karate Kid. Do we count that? Hold on.
That was, wait a minute. Okay, so first one, Daniel-san learns from Mr. Miyagi. Yep. Second one, they go to Okinawa.
Yep.
Third one, they come back. He opens a bonsai store. And Ralph Macchio dates the girl from Teen Witch.
Teen Witch. My Life as a Teenage Witch Lady.
Yes.
And then the next one is the girl played by
right.
Zanika Fremont. Nope. What's her name?
Well, if I was ever going to remember it, it's certainly not going to happen. Hilary Swank.
Hilary Swank. Yep. So yes. Hilary Swank in 4. And then if you skip ahead to 5, that's technically
that's
a remake.
Will Smith?
No,
Jaden Smith?
Jaden Smith and Jackie Chan.
Okay.
And now they want to go back and make a proper sequel to 3, maybe? Anyway, or do it as a TV show. It's called, so what they want is a 10-episode, half-hour comedy series called Cobra Kai.
Oh, God.
This is literally in the works.
Already comedy series titled Cobra Kai. I'm already in, Scott.
Now, you might say to yourself, HBO, Netflix, Amazon Prime? No. This will be on YouTube Red.
You might hope for one of those.
Yeah, you're getting YouTube Red for this one, which has not been famous for high-quality original content so far. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it will mark the return of both Ralph Macchio, I can't say his name, Ralph Macchio, and William Zabka. Who's he?
The Macchio Man. He's Sweep the Leg.
Oh, he's the blonde kid. The
blonde
kid. Oh, all right.
I mean, if you're going to have somebody, you know, you do want his arch enemy.
Yeah. Yeah, you want the baddest of the bad.
That's right. Although it'd be really nice to get what's his face involved too, the dojo master dude.
Oh, he's a butthole, that guy.
He is a butthole.
Yeah.
Because he did come back for three.
Three, not four though.
Not four. I don't know if anybody besides Pat Morita was involved with 4.
Yeah.
With
I'm not even sure an audience was involved. Just saying.
Right, yeah.
Anyway, says they're going to play their respective roles from the highly successful motion picture franchise. The first two were directed by legendary Rocky Helmer John A. Avidson, that spawned 3 sequels and a remake. As part of the press release, 30 years after the event.
Rocky Helmer.
Yeah, Rocky Helmer.
Everybody, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Rocky Helmer.
Rocky Helmer, everybody. Taking center stage. Give it up for Rocky Helmer. Men's strip club. Anyway, as per the press release, 30 years after the events of 1984 All Valley Karate Tournament, the original tournament, a down and out Johnny Lawrence.
Whoa, Scott. It's whoa. Johnny.
Johnny Lawrence Zabka seeks redemption by reopening the infamous Cobra Kai Karate Dojo. So he's still going to be a bad guy, it looks like.
Okay, so he's going to be the dojo master.
Yeah, that's dumb. Let's see. Reigniting his rivalry with now successful Daniel LaRusso, who has been struggling to maintain balance in his life without the guidance of his mentor, Mr. Miyagi. The show is about two men addressing past demons and present frustrations the only way they know how, through karate. Dude.
This sounds like such a train wreck, but
I kind of want to see it.
All right. Johnny Lawrence, opening a dojo, that does seem like natural progression for the character.
Sure.
But Ralph Macchio, or you know, Daniel LaRusso being successful. Mm-hmm. he's the dumb kid from Racine. And here's the thing.
Yeah.
Ralph Macchio still looks like he's 22.
I know. How about Zabka? How's he doing?
Zabka, he was on How I Met Your Mother a couple of years ago. No. Let's see here.
All right. I figured he was done. Figured his acting career was over.
Yeah, very similar looking, actually.
Let's see. William. Oh, yeah. No, he could. Yeah, I'd buy into that.
Just needs like a much more fuller, blonder helmet head.
Yeah. I mean, he's a dude. Here, look, chat. Mm-hmm. Hold on. I mean, of course he's a dude. I mean, he's a... There, see? That's fine.
Yeah.
He just looked like an older version. Yeah, he'd be fine. I think Macchio looks a little weird, too, these days. Just starting to look a little weird. Just a little weird. Like, Ralph...
I think he's officially the last person ever to be named Ralph.
He might have been, yeah. I mean, the closest is our buddy Ralph, who passed away, using it as a nickname. But any actual real Ralphs? I don't know any.
Oh yeah, yeah, I do know real Ralph, but he's older than Ralph Macchio.
Okay.
Say, come on, look. Here's a what year is this picture taken? But look at the one I just put in Twitch chat.
Yeah.
That's his IMDb photo. I mean, dude still looks like he's.
Hold on, let me find
in his 20s.
There's a who put the YouTube video in here? What's this about? Hold on.
Pants Arsonist.
Pants are oh yeah, no, that's the same photo I was looking at. Yeah, he looks fine. Mm-hmm. You know what? Bring it on. We'll do the whole thing film sack. Let's do it.
Sure. Sure.
Yeah.
Right after we do White Hot American or Wet Hot American Summer.
Actually, I'm looking. I liked the series.
I never saw the series. It's I do great. Want to see the series.
Series is worth it. That new chapter, the 10 years later thing, just hit mm-hmm. today.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I think you should watch the series. The movie, I still hate the movie, but I really liked the series. And it's helped me with people. They're not so bitchy at me anymore about hating the movie because I just think the movie's no good. The TV show's great, though. Mm. And it's just as, you know, irreverent and naughty and all the stuff you liked about the movie or people like about the movie.
Right.
Anyway, there's that. Ralph Macchio, get your groove on there. speaking of Jaden Smith or another Karate Kid, Jaden Smith.
Oh, yeah, right.
His water startup is suing. He's got a water startup.
Yeah, that's the first part of this that I find very funny.
Yeah, burying that lead. Is suing a vegan mayonnaise startup over a font dispute. So a typography dis.
There's also a vegan mayonnaise startup.
Well, you know, those people, they'll eat whatever is vegan, yeah. Right? It says here, today in culinary disputes we never knew we needed comes the star-studded tale of Jaden Smith's water startup and Queen Latifah approved. I guess she's likes it or something.
Yes.
That's called Just Goods Incorporated. I don't like that. Anyway, is suing Hampton Creek, a food company best known for shilling vegan eggless mayonnaise substitute called Just Mayo. According to Bloomberg, Smith's Just Good Inc., which makes water in fully recyclable cartons made of sugar cane and paper that are branded Just Water. Oh, I see where we're headed here.
Yeah.
Alleges that Bill Gates and Peter Thiel-backed Hampton Creek has changed its design to emphasize the word just on its products, marketing on its website and packaging, despite the agreement the two companies signed in 2014 that specified the Hampton Creek Group would have to stick to its former design, which used cursive and a smaller font. Unless it got the permission of Just Good. He is literally suing Bill Gates and Peter Thiel. Ooh, those are billionaires right there, buddy.
Right. I'm still trying to find a logo. Here we go. I want to find a logo for Just Mayo.
Yeah. Do you see it? Do you find it? I'm looking too.
Yeah, it's just the word. That's ridiculous. It's just the word just in lowercase Helvetica.
Yeah. Is he
with a period at the end?
Is he in the photo on the article? Is Jaden Smith talking on his water bottle like it's a phone? What's going on there? Hello, hey Dad.
After Earth was great, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was great. I'm really weird. Okay, see you tonight. Yeah, that'll be how that goes. Conflict arose. Let's see. Cameron declined to comment in the lawsuit. There's no doubt. That we'll be hearing more dispatches about this in this bizarre celebrity food war.
Now, apparently a couple of years ago, Just Mayo got in more trouble because, according to the FDA, you can't call something that doesn't contain eggs mayonnaise.
Oh, well, yeah, because eggs and mayonnaise are, I mean, that's the whole point of mayonnaise, right?
Right, exactly. So
So what do you call it? Just not mayo?
Just modified food starch, pea protein, and beta carotene.
Just gross goo, they should call it.
Just yellow goo or white goo.
Yeah, here's a white, yellow tinted goo. My least favorite thing about mayonnaise is the very lightest of yellow tint you get in the mayonnaise. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's gross.
Yeah.
It's like a little pea in there. I don't like it. Final story, Sean Spicer, everyone's talking about him being on Dancing with the Stars. He reportedly is not a good dancer. Shortly after Sean Spicer's resignation, he's the former press secretary of the United States of America in President Trump's administration. Page Six broke the news that Dancing with the Stars reached out to offer him a spot on the show's next season, but on Friday, according to TMZ, Spicer would not appear on Dancing with the Stars after all. Citing a source close to whom reportedly told TMZ, quote, he is not a good dancer.
Here's the reason why.
Yeah. He says that and other things which they called, quote, overwhelming number of commitments in the fall. He's going to make a bunch of money just being a talking head on shows and stuff. It's going to be a nightmare. Yeah,
totally. I mean, I hate to say it. If he wrote a book, I definitely would like to read it.
I don't know if I would, because I think he's still a shill for... I mean, that guy just stood in front of a microphone and lied for 6 months. Mm-hmm. Like, straight up just... And I'm not even talking about lies he was told to tell. He tells his own lies. Mm-hmm. So his book's got to be just awful if he wrote a book. It's not going to be some tell-all, like, where he's going to go, well, there's this one time that Trump asked me to pee on him or something.
I guess that's kind of what we're hoping. It's some sort of, like, tell-all.
I don't think he's the guy. Yeah. We're going to get somebody else.
And then
else.
The president asked me to lie. And then he told me to get on all fours and bark like a dog.
Then he asked me to bring more pee later in a small container. That's it for your news. We're going to take a break and come back and talk about apps we've been messing around with. It is app time here on the Thursday PM edition of the show, as well as your questions on Twitter with the Ask TMS hashtag. Before that, though, the aforementioned music, please.
Yes. Well, how about a... Oh, is it not coming up for me? Oh, there we go. Let's see if I can get it now. York, Pennsylvania group called Ampersandre. I love the name of this band, by the way. Mm. They are a rock band. They are influenced by Soundgarden and bands like Big Wreck. They are coming out with a brand new album called The Past Is Coming. And this is the project of singer-songwriter Andre La Follette. Mm. And I should have turned my phone off what I should have done.
La Follette is very French. Oh,
really like the song, and I really like the fact that Scott's going to be very tempted halfway through to turn it off, and I urge him to not do that. Urge him strongly to not do that.
Okay.
Right. The song is called Long Gone Halcyon. Here is Ampersandre.
Okay, here it is. I have no idea what's going to make me want to turn this off, but I can't wait to find out. Here you go. That was freaking weird. It's like three different songs.
A musical interlude from Collective Soul in the middle of that.
Yeah, very weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see what you mean. You didn't mean stop it because I didn't like it. You meant stop it because it seems like it's
you
over.
You thought it was a different song, yeah.
Oh, now it all makes sense to me. Well, anyway, there's that. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Let's take a little trip down here to this. Ooh, I hear it. It's happening. Can't help it.
App Slappy.
All right, time for us to talk about apps we've been messing with this week.
That's right.
I'm going to pull this out of my pocket.
Please do.
And start this like I often do. So, all right, you probably are going to want to at least comment on this one.
I'm not because I have not played it. I've downloaded it, but because I saw it was out and I haven't played it yet.
Well, here you go. This is going to be my discussion about a game called... Hold on, it's coming up. I forgot the name already. Made by Tiny Touch Holes. Why can't I find the name of the thing?
It's
Magic
Merchant.
Merchant, that's it. Merchant. It's just they have it as MM, and then they never show the title string again, so it's kind of throwing me off. Anyway, it's Magic Merchant or Magical Merchant, something to that effect. This is from the dudes / dude. Who have been bringing us such cool games as Card Crawl and Card Thief. If you're familiar with those games before, you've heard me rave about them. Apparently, this is on Android as well, but it's free there for some reason, and it's $2 on iOS, and I think it may be just like a... I've heard recently that... Here's what I've heard, and people can tell me I'm wrong if they want to, but I've heard from app developers that there are two things going on. One, all of their profit is made on iOS, and everything they make is pirated on Google Play or Android. And so they say that sometimes it's just better for them to get the word out that their thing even exists by putting it out for free on Android, but they'll still make money on iOS.
Weird. That's crazy.
Yeah. So that may be the case here. I don't know. Anyway, it's this cool art style that you're used to from them, although a lot more colorful and kind of... Hard to explain the difference.
Usually their stuff is a lot more muted blues and grays.
And a lot more kind of sketchy art. This is still the sketchy art, but the color palette is super out there and cool. It's very different in that way, and I think it works to its advantage. But here's how it works, basically. You hit play, and you are this dude who is a merchant. You can see right here, these are my cards down there, and there's a dude who wants to get something from me. He's here for a potion. And how I give him that potion is I take my cards and I combine them. He shows me that he wants red as a must-have. He has to have red as part of his potion, which I have red cards down there in the corner. And he also likes blue. So if I can include blue, or I guess it's green, sorry. If I can include green, then bonus points for me because I'm also giving him something he wants, not just needs. So that sounds simple enough. What you do is you take... I'll take a red card, plop it down, because I know that's I have to have the red card. I won't get too much into it, but if you put other cards adjacent to that red card, because that red card has a little yellow triangle, do you see that? I take my yellow card and put it on that side. I automatically get +1 points for that, because I put a yellow card to the left of it. It's basically a recipe is what I'm making here, even though it's just cards. But I have
to have four cards to choose from, right? Like you're dealt four cards and you have to hopefully satisfy.
Correct. And you can take any that you want. The goal is you're always told at the bottom, you have 13 cards to start with. And you're always told, you always know what that number is. And so your goal should always be try to not run out of any one deck too early. Because you might get your final customer going, yeah, I need red, and you have no red and you're just screwed. So, and then you lose the game.
So you have a set number of customers? Or does it just keep, they just keep coming until you're out of cards?
They keep coming until you're out of cards. Okay. And your goal is to get the highest score possible and get rid of your cards. By the time you're done, have all your cards be gone. Kind of solitaire-ish, only in that one way. It's not really solitaire, like you and I talked about yesterday.
Yeah.
So I'm going to put four cards up here. And as you can see, I've put four different ones because now, and there goes the potion. He's like, oh, sweet, dude. I got the potion I want. And he leaves.
Heavy potion of the rainbow. Oh, and there's the next customer.
Next customer. So now what they want
looks like
is
she likes blue.
She likes blue. So we're going to put a blue card out first. Now that blue card has a little heart at the bottom.
Yeah.
When it's centered like that, any red cards I use, I get bonuses for, even if they're not adjacent. So I could go...
Oh.
I could put two... For fun here, I'll put two red cards up. And then a green card. Okay, so there they all go. Well, you kind of missed that part. But it gave me a twin bonus, a normal something twin bonus thing, and that gave me more points. Now, you're thinking to yourself, well, all you're doing is just putting cards. Why would you ever lose? Well, in this deck, there's these little monster cards that give you negative points. They're almost like bugs in your soup.
Okay.
So if you play one of those, let's say you've got 2 points already, which is a winning hand. Anything over one is a winning hand for the customer, and they can leave.
Okay.
But let's say I've got two in the winning category, and then I add one of these bugs to it, and he's a negative two, I'm now zero again. Or if I'm already at zero and I put him down, now I'm at negative two. So
you want to play him when you've got like a plus three or like you've got 3 points.
Correct. Or play your bonuses right so that you get extra points on top of what's just basically there with the cards. It sounds complicated. It's not at all. And some of these people that want potions, the main ingredient where they want, you know, they require an ingredient is one of the negative bug cards.
The bugs? Oh, cool.
So you have some of those opportunities. Where I find I get in trouble is where I've got a lot of those bugs toward the end of my deck, and they're really hard to get rid of them. Because someone will say, well, I need green, but in order to get to the green cards, I need to discard a couple of bugs on top of the green deck, and then you can get screwed. I've beaten it once, and I've gotten almost to beating it dozens of times. It's a little tricky. You unlock new stuff and new things as you go on, like those other games, and it's completely delightful, wonderful, and great. And it's $2 on iOS, I guess free on Android. You should all go play this game. I love it. Magical or Magic Merchant. I don't know if it's Ickle or just Idjic.
I think it, yeah. I can pull up the email they sent.
The art is delightful. Like, I don't know what to compare it to. It's really simple, yet...
Miracle Merchant.
Miracle Merchant. That's it. Not magical.
So no magical at all, but no. Just Miracle Merchant.
Miracle Merchant and the art will just make you smile. The gameplay is super chill, and it's just the perfect mobile game. I love these kinds of games on mobile.
Yeah. You know, Tiny Touch Tales, you can just pretty much always rely on them to have a good, not just good art, but good gameplay and everything.
And by the way, this is the other thing. I followed Card Thief for months and months and months and months. I heard it announced and I was like, oh, can't wait. And it felt like forever. I was on a beta list. Like, I hated how long I had to wait for that. And it's a great game and I'm glad that it's out. This came out without any warning. I didn't know it was coming. I had no idea. I mean, maybe the word was out, but they didn't, as far as I know, they didn't really do a pre-release sort of PR blast. So for me, this was just like the nicest little surprise of, oh, a thing I want to do real bad that I didn't even know was coming. And that felt really nice in a world of delays and waiting for over 15. So nice. Anyway,
very nice.
That's mine. What did you bring?
What have I got, Scott? Let me tell you. And there are going to be people, and you might be one of them, who say, Brian, this game has been out for 3 years on iOS, and it's even been out longer on browser. And fine, I'm going to say that. Fine, okay, fine. I know, but I've never played it until now, and I'm loving it. The game is called Forge of Empires, and it felt initially like one of those Clash of Clans and Attack of Kings and this of that and blah, 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 like you see old Torso doing advertisements for in between plays at your NFL game.
Sure.
But it's I really like it. It's a little bit more SimCity than Clash of Clans. First off, there's no what's the term I'm looking for? No
free to play stuff?
No, there's some you can buy crystals and stuff like that. So I mean that they do have that. But it's more like city building, resource management, and some growth where you go and attack in the campaign other continents. But those other continents don't have to belong to other players. There is a PvP element. You don't have to play the PvP element. There's a really good campaign involved. And it's so
this isn't just another Clash of Clans game then, is what you're saying, because I hate those.
I do too, and it's not. Okay. Yeah, this is more like, was it Age of Empires? Was the game for a while where you went from building stuff like a caveman, and then you go into the Iron Age, and you've got knights in armor, and then they go into the golden age and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
and then
iron,
the future.
Iron age and copper age and all that.
That's what this is. So like you've got all those ages in here. Mm-hmm. And as you make it through and research new technologies, you move into those new ages. Mm. And
I like
and
that
then
kind
you can
game.
Start changing your buildings and stuff.
Sure. I like city builders. Like in general, I like to start out with just me
and a caveman. Yes.
And a caveman.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. So I'm totally digging this thing. It's available on Android and iOS, and I believe. Oh, and the fighting, by the way, is turn-based strategy. So it's like almost like you're. We've had a bunch of games that are similar to this, but the first one I always think of is Advance Wars. That Advance Wars kind of style where you're on a hex grid and you take turns moving.
Yeah, you move, you make your you attack if you can, you end your turn, they do theirs. Yeah.
Exactly. Sure. So it's a blast. It's a lot of fun. I can't remember if I paid anything for it. It might have just been free, and if that's the case, it's a great deal. Forge of Empires, again, iOS, iPhone, iPad. You're definitely going to want this on an iPad, and you're probably going to want to do this on an iPad Pro because there's a lot of stuff going on. It's really fun to see your whole city laid out before you, as opposed to having to zoom out, zoom in, do this, zoom out, zoom in, do another thing.
Yeah.
So
do you get random people attacking you, or is it just you going out?
You apparently can in later levels. I haven't gotten that yet, but I did see that there's a mechanic for my army that I can set them to defend the city, but I haven't been, I don't think I'm at the level yet where I can get attacked, so.
Because I'm more of a, I like the, what was the Impressions games? They did Zeus and Pharaoh.
Yes,
and
yeah.
The way I would play those is I would turn off any kind of army attack crap.
Yeah, and I haven't done any PvP, and I'm guessing
that
this is the same setup, that as soon as I do PvP, it flags me for doing that sort of thing.
All right, I'll have to check this out. I love these kinds of games, but I'm always so wary of the mobile ones because they've always aired on the side of shit, you know?
Yeah, totally. And the freemium stuff, not in your face at all. You don't get prompts to say, I think I've gotten one prompt in the week I've been playing this that says, hey, we've got a sale now on crystals if you want to go buy some. It's like, no, thanks. And it hasn't bothered me since.
Yeah.
There's a current campaign right now where you can get Marilyn Monroe no matter what age you're in. So I'm going to have a bronze age with a little Marilyn Monroe walking around. looking for a sewer grate to stand on top of, I guess.
Like you do.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Or subway grate. I guess it would have been gross if it was a sewer grate.
You know, our ex-Blizzard, now Riot buddy, Greg Street, he made Age of Empires. That was his big game before.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Before he went and worked at Blizzard and did WoW, and then now he's off to League of Legends. Yeah, that guy's a...
That's cool.
The guy's a legend in his own right.
No kidding. Look at that guy.
I will play that game.
Check it out. I think you'd like this.
Yeah, you've convinced me. I like city builders, generally speaking, and I try a lot of experimental ones. And I'm happy to try this.
Get past some of the weird, like the graphics. The graphics are good, the actual game graphics. But when you get a window that comes up, it feels a little bit like you're playing a 90s King's Quest kind of thing.
Yeah, I can see that.
So
from
you have
the
to
video.
Let me know what you think.
Yeah, I saw some of this video and it looked a little. Some of that looked a little sketchy.
Yeah.
But I will play it. All right. Well, there's our recommendations for the week. Yeah. Once again, it is Forge of Empires for Brian.
That's right.
People have been asking me to do this.
And Mystical Merchant.
Mystical Master. Oh, no. I'm sorry. Mystical Merchant. Masturbating
Merchant. A whole
Matt.
Different game. Masturbating Merchant.
There you go. All right. Let's let our current Energy Secretary say something.
And you can always follow me on Twitter.
Okay, great. Twitter. Here it is. Twitter. It's time for your Twitter questions. They come to us at hashtag AskTMS. You don't even have to have our Twitter account to do it. You just type your question with that hashtag, and we read them on the show. So here's an example from James Grammer, or as he is known in the world, James K. Grammer or J.K. Grammer. He says, who would you rather spoon feed? Or no, I'm sorry. Who would you rather have spoon feed you mayonnaise, Trump or Spicer? By the way, there is no right answer. Ha ha, says James.
No, there really isn't.
Of the two, though, I'm probably Spicer. I think I don't want Trump putting something in my mouth. Forget
yeah.
it.
Yeah, boy, Spicer would always seem like he's really in a hurry to do something else.
He would
the whole time he's spoon feeding you mayonnaise.
He would, but if he's shown himself to be dedicated to a cause, you know.
Yeah.
And if that
I mean there's no other answer. No one, you're not going to say Trump, because it's going to be the whole time I spoon feed the best mayonnaise. This is best foods. My foods are actually better, believe me.
Yeah.
Many people have told me that I have the best foods.
That would kill me after a while. And also, never eat a spoonful of mayonnaise. Never.
No, that's really...
Yeah. Sounds so gross to me.
Not even that fake vegan non-mayonnaise. No. Unanaise.
Yeah. And I'm also... Phonaise. And for the record, I'm not drinking Jaden Smith's water either. I think... And I don't want anything to do with any of those people. Mm-hmm. Peter Fisher says, so Karate Kid is a sitcom. What other unlikely 80s movie is next? The TGIF 30-minute show? Enemy Mine? Quest for Fire? Waterworld? Oh, I could go for a Waterworld show. Don't you tease me.
Sure.
And also Enemy Mine. I like that, too. I don't remember Quest for Fire. Is that the caveman?
Did he specifically say turning it into a comedy or just a 30-minute show?
30-minute TGIF show.
Okay, so yeah, so that does imply comedy.
Yeah.
It's going to be right on after, it's going to be tucked right between Family Matters and...
What was that?
What was another TGIF?
You had Family Matters and...
Was Rock?
Oh, yeah, ROC. Was he on there? I don't remember.
Or was he on Fox?
Might have been Fox. That Charles Dutton show you're talking about.
The Charles Dutton show is the one I'm thinking of, yeah.
I liked that show. I remember liking that. It was a very early Fox thing, wasn't it? It was way back in the day.
I think it really was.
All right, I'll take Quest for Fire. It's a caveman movie, and that'd be a funny comedy. So.
Just because you're thinking of cavemen right now.
Yeah, I'm thinking of cavemen and women. Mm-hmm. Here's Scott Lee's.
Oh, hold on, I gotta answer this question.
Go ahead,
Scott.
Yeah, go ahead. I thought that was you doing that, and then me
agreeing. No. I was talking about it's on TGI Friday, so it's going to be tucked in between those two shows.
Yeah,
I'm gonna say, Fight Club, the 30-minute comedy on Friday nights.
Oh my, that's pretty good. I like that. We'll have a laugh track though.
Totally. Tyler, don't you remember the first rule of Fight Club?
You hear, blah, 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 blah. That's not a very good... I can't do an impression of a laugh
Fight
track.
Club is filmed in front of a live studio audience.
Here's a laugh track. Now that's your Vegas cab driver.
That's a good one, though.
That's a good one. That's you backwards. That's you normal. It's Mateo when he was a Terpster. Wait. Wow. There you go. That's enough for a crowd.
There's your Terpster.
We've got it. Okay, Scott Lee says, what does a burnt network cable smell like? Toast, Victory, Jim Rayner, or baby goats? None of those things. It smelled like a burning tire.
Yeah, I bet with the plastic, the rubber. Yeah.
Like the kind when you're going down the canyon and you're pumping your brakes too much. That smell? Mm-hmm. That's what it smelled like. Like burning brake pads. That's what it smelled like.
Yeah. Now, on the other hand, a burnt cable network smells like ABC Family.
Yeah, duh. Of course. Neil Patel says, will you be recording in the Utah? I think he's making a reference to, what's her name? The hotel lady.
The clip clop. Yeah, the clip clop. But what does he mean? Will you be recording in the Utah?
I don't know. I think he's replying to the thing where I said we're doing a show today instead of yesterday.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
I think that's what it was. Okay. The podcast gods have decreed you each can have one final interview before your shows are all ended. Who do you choose? Mm. I want you to hear yours first because you probably got some famous... awesome name, and I can't think of anyone.
Who would I like to interview? I think Sia. I would really like to interview. She for some reason she just fascinates me.
Yeah, I like her.
Yeah,
she does me too. You know why? Because she's like 44.
Mm-hmm.
So she's way out of the normal age range for your pop music hit star lady, which I already respect. And then she's got that whole career where she was writing music for other famous people for a long time.
Right,
isn't Put a Ring on It or whatever hers?
I don't know if that one is, but there are, I think there's an Adele song that's written by Sia.
Yeah, I think she's done a few famous ones like a Rihanna song and that stuff. So that I admire. And then there's the whole, like, her music is just really good. And for me, transcends pop. Like, I don't feel
it's
just pop music, you know?
Yeah.
That's a good one. I like that. She'd probably wear that weird lampshade hair or whatever.
She probably would. And then I'd be like, are you crossing your eyes at me? Are you looking at me? Yeah. Are you sleeping?
I think she's just
during
trying
my interview.
I think she's trying to hide that she'll be 50.
Kind of tangentially, I'd also throw in Greg Kurstin, who produced her music and produced Bird and the Bee. Well, he's half of the Bird and the Bee and produced Lily Allen's album. And
yeah.
really like him, and that would be kind of like a little a tie-in.
You think Lily Allen watches Game of Thrones and just yells at her brother for being such a puss?
Don't jump off the side of
the boat! What are you doing? Have you no honor?
Oh, Elfie, what are you thinking? Why am I talking like Adele?
Here's one. Oh, my interview.
Yeah.
Mort Drucker.
Oh, that's a good one.
Before he dies, he's in his 80s. He is my favorite artist of all time. Mm. I freaking love every... He shaped me in ways I cannot even express in the 80s when I was growing up. He's a Mad Magazine artist, for those who don't know. Every really good like TV or movie satire they ever did, he was the guy. Artist anyway. And he was amazing. I freaking love Mort Drucker. So I want to sit down and talk to that guy. I hope that... I mean, it'll never happen, but I would love... Actually, maybe does somebody know him? Just send me an email. I would do anything to talk to that guy.
Yeah, that would be so cool.
I would love it. Just get it, you know, some grandson, get him on Skype or whatever. I'll 10 minutes max. I just want to talk to him. Okay, here's one from Joaquim Da Corta.
Okay.
Who says, for you both, a real Sophie's Choice, but please rank the 3 Fargo seasons.
Oh,
now this is hard. I think
for me, okay, I'm going to give you some time to think about yours because mine is a little bit easier. All I right. think for me, it's 3-1-2. All I right. really, really like this most recent season. David Thewlis is a
so good,
magnificent performer, and makes you hate him from the moment you see him.
So good.
Plus, it's got three named McGillicuddy, Swango. Yeah, his name I can't remember. Mary.
Not Steenburgen. Mary.
No, not Mary Stewart.
Mary Stewart. Mary. President. What's her name from BSG?
Oh, no, not her. Oh. I mean, I like her a lot, but. Oh, who? No, I'm talking about Swango. I'm talking about. Scott Pilgrim's girlfriend.
Right. Mary Elizabeth Masterson.
Mary. No, but you're. Mary Elizabeth.
More Chacho. I can't think of it. Oh, she was so
Winstead.
Good.
Mary Elizabeth Winstead. Winstead, thank you. Yes. I just could not get Mary Elizabeth Parker and Mary Stuart Masterson or any of those other names out there.
Yeah.
She's anyway, so good. Really like her. Yeah. And then that first season with
the British
Susan Tolman, not Susan Tolman.
Oh, the lady, the cop, she was so good.
Sheriff, she was fantastic. Gosh, anyway, oh my God, I'm just doing a horrible job of remembering anybody's name. And they're all right. good.
Yeah, they're all good. You know what I'm going to say before I say my order? This is really hard for me because to me, I wouldn't miss any of it. I freaking loved every freaking second of that show, all 3 seasons. But if you're begging me to rank them, I'm ranking season 2 higher. I'm going to say I really liked 2. So I'm going to say... This is really hard because I don't really have a favorite.
Yeah.
I'll say 3-2-1 just because that's probably more about my memory than anything because I saw one more recently than the other.
Right.
But I recently, I watched one over with Kim because she started watching it and she really liked one again. I loved seeing it again. It's really hard for me. It's like picking your favorite kid. They're all 3 seasons are so freaking good.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, dude. I love that show. I want it back. Hurry up, make your Doctor Doom movie there, Noah
Maybe
Hawley.
Maybe combine the two. Maybe make Doctor Doom a character in season 4 of Fargo.
Done. Deal. Deal.
You know, it takes place in Latveria, right?
Latveria. Yeah. Is that right?
I think so, yeah.
Latveria. Yeah, I think you're right. Karen says, can we please get Wendy to weigh in on Matchstick Men's portrayal of whatever Nick Cage is trying to do? Okay.
Wow, somebody's watching their film sec movies. Very good.
Doing your homework, Karen. Good job. Right.
Well done, Karen.
I like that.
I watched it today.
Yeah.
I'm excited to talk about it. It's a very, you know, when we talked about this via text, it's a very different movie for us for film sec, but I think it'll lend itself to some interesting discussion.
I agree. There's hardly a movie we can't work our way around.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed this in the theaters. I like Ridley Scott and I really like what's his name? Not Nicolas Cage, the other one.
Sam Rockwell.
Yeah, Sam Rockwell can do no wrong. Fantastic. Yeah. I love him.
Yeah, no, he totally can.
Okay. Oh, check this out. Laundry Scent says, how do you feel about Washington State's new distracted driving fines? $136 for holding a phone, $99 for eating, drinking, grooming, or smoking.
Oh, wow.
I didn't know they
did
this.
Does grooming include picking your nose?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, wow.
Cleaning out your...
But even drinking, like even picking up a cup and drinking it, that's...
Yeah.
That seems harsh.
That's really harsh.
I like the idea of the phone situation.
Yeah, the phone one, I feel like they're going to save some lives. But these others probably too. I just don't know. Like if I'm parked at a light, can I take my can and sip at it and put it back?
Right, yeah. Or would you rather I put it all in a... one of those aqua packs that you put on your back and then have a little pipe that just goes right up to your mouth.
I like those.
Yeah.
I would do that.
Camel pack.
Yeah, that is hardcore, man. $900 yeah. bucks for each one of those. Jeez. Roar, R-O-R, says, so, Jamie's butt crack? Question mark? I assume he means Jamie Lannister.
Oh.
Is that what they're talking about?
I guess.
Whoa, Jamie's butt crack. I don't know. That scene was like the,
That was hardly the most distracting and offensive thing in that scene, was Jamie Lannister's butt crack.
Yeah, that didn't bother me. He's a good-looking man. Mm-hmm. He's a handsome dude, that actor. I forget his name.
It's a bunch of consonants all jammed together because he's what, Belgian or something?
Something to that effect, yeah.
Yeah.
Brian Hitchcock. Mm-hmm. Says, have either of you been watching season 4 of The British Bake Off? I have not.
Nope, not yet.
Yeah. It's not on Netflix yet, is it? Or is it? I don't think it is.
I don't know if it is or not. We just finished season 3, I think. So that should be the next one.
Katie Talmo says, can everybody please keep my baby cousin in their thoughts and prayers? She's finally getting a new liver. Oh, that's great news.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, new liver is good. There was another kid. I don't know if his parents listened to us or if their kid just listens to the instance. I can't remember what the deal was, but anyway, he just had a liver transplant himself. He was 10 or is 10. Had it done. And he's just the smiliest, happiest kid. He ended up in a random game with me playing Overwatch one day. And I reached out to his mom and she said, oh yeah, he's got the new liver. Things are going okay. So this is how cool you don't see this a lot or you don't get to hear about it. This is how cool Blizzard is. I get a hold of one of my contacts at Blizzard, somebody on the Overwatch team. I said, look, I've got this kid. He's 10. He just got a new liver. We should do something cool for him. And they go, oh, we got a great idea. No worries. What's your address? Let's do this. They sent me the biggest, coolest box of Overwatch swag.
Oh yeah, I saw that. Isn't that, it came in a an Overwatch loot box, right, that you had a hard time opening? Oh, no, that was a Heroes of the Storm.
No, that's a Heroes of the Storm one. This one is just like a big square box, but in there was like a Winston plushie, and then it also had two rare pop toys, a rare Lucio and a rare Tracer, I think.
Nice.
Plus a bunch of stickers and magnets and prints and just stuff, like a big load from those guys. I threw in a few things and sent it to him. What a tough kid, man. 10 years old.
Cool. Oh, good for him.
Just grinning ear to ear. Couldn't be happier. So congratulations to him and Katie. I'm sure that your baby cousin will be just fine. A new liver is a good liver.
Mm-hmm.
How about this one? Final one here. Okay. Scott loves MMFR. What's that mean?
Scott? Probably ACMAMC or AMSR.
I got it. Scott loves Mad Max Fury Road, and it's a picture of Mad Max, and this guy made a Twitter account with my name on it. Anyway, whatever. Says, hey, Scott, what would you rather, Mad Max Fury Road or HBO's entire adaptation of Game of Thrones? Ooh. Do you got to get rid of one of those is what he's saying. So
right.
Do I want to live in a world without Fury Road or a world without Game of Thrones? Probably
a whole lot more content of Game of Thrones.
Yeah, there is, but volume isn't necessarily my biggest interest.
That's right. I mean, quantity doesn't always mean quality.
And I can watch Fury Road over and over and over, and I'm not really in the mood to go watch Game of Thrones over again. Not really. Mm-hmm. Not now. Maybe later I will be. So I'm going to say Mad Max Fury Road stays, Game of Thrones goes. It pains me to say it.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at.
It would be the opposite for me, but that's probably no surprise to anyone.
No.
I mean, I do like me the MMFR, but I really like the Game of Thrones. Because you get Jimmy Lannister's butt crack.
Oh, yeah, you're totally. You're not even getting Mad Max's butt crack.
No, you don't get anybody's butt crack in that damn show.
Some of those girls, the slave ladies. Some of their butt cracks. Yeah, and they're pretty, you know. Better than Jamie's butt crack.
Yeah, well, far better.
That is going to do it for your questions. Ask TMS is the hashtag. Use it on the frequent. We'll read them on here on the PM edition of the show, which is brought to you by patreon.com/TMS. Thank you for your contributions there. For without them, we don't have this show. It is literally the way we pay the bills. So thank you guys so much for helping us and supporting us there. Working ever so slowly but surely toward our goal to get a monthly Frogpants All-Star show right here on the feed. If you're interested in that, there are full details over at patreon.com/TMS.
Do it today.
Do it today.
Be contestant even.
Yeah. It's the world of tomorrow.
That's right.
Today. Let's take our leave. We're going to go now. You have some music. We'll be back, I guess, Monday. Yeah, normal week next week, mm-hmm. I think. Nothing weird. Nothing gets weird until the week of your award and my anniversary.
Yep, exactly.
So I think we're pretty good up until then. Anyway, thank you all for being here. Let's do music. Do you have music?
Sure. I've got a request from Jeremy, who says August 5th, which is tomorrow, is the anniversary date for being in the United States Air Force for 14 years. I went to boot camp at 17, and I'm now 31. I've been in the military my entire adult life. I want to hear something awesome. Maybe a cover of Zeppelin. You decide. Thanks in advance. Signed, Jeremy. Well, all right. How about something awesome? How about an awesome cover of a Zeppelin song? This is really cool. This is the band Hozier, who you know from the song Take Me to Church, which was huge last year, a couple of years ago. This is their cover of Whole Lot of Love by Led Zeppelin. They recorded it for Dennis O'Leary's show, The Saturday Sessions, and you can find it on the 2015 edition of that album series. Here's Hozier and Whole Lot of Love.
You need cooling, honey, I'm not fooling. I'm gonna send you back to schooling. Way down inside, honey, you need it. I wanna give you my love, I'm gonna give you my love, yeah. My love.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
I don't know why that was so loud. Did you hear how loud that was? It was loud.
The song?
No, the my oh, thing the, at the end.
Oh, the Frog Pants thing?
That's a good question.
Let's see if I...